there, ladies and gentlemen, and peasants, nobles, and service folk, all alike. My name is Anna, and with me today is my humble servant, Jared.
Hello!
We will be your hosts for this episode. We are honored and grateful that you would come and join us at our table today. Today, we are at the two-top table, focusing on a two-player game, Castle Combo. Designed by Gregory Gerard and Matthew Rossell. Artwork by Stephanie Escop.
Nope.
Why not?
There's no I. It's not Stephanie.
Stephane Escop?
Sure.
I don't know. Artwork by Stephane Escop. No, you messed it up because you laughed. Artwork by Stephane Escop and published by Pandasaurus Games here in the U.S.
Castle Combo is a 2-4 player tableau building game where players will take turns drafting cards from one of two rows, trying to decide the best way to align them in their 3x3 grid. As they decide which folk are most qualified and most worthy of their castle, players will have to determine who has built the greatest kingdom in all the land. Let's discuss Castle Combo.
Right, Jared. So seeing as how this is my kingdom.
It is.
And you are my servant.
I am but a humble person here before you today.
And this game explores many of the roles that one might have in a kingdom and how they work together and benefit from each other.
Sure, sure.
What role do you aspire to in my kingdom?
In your kingdom?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like the role that transcends all eras of rich nobility is the butler, the one who makes sure behind the scenes everything is running properly and that the royal family is served and taken care of to the utmost perfection. So I think for me, that's the route I would like to go.
Interesting.
I'm already well on my way as your humble servant.
It's true. I don't know if you're thinking of a kingdom or if you're thinking of Batman right now.
I think, like I said, it transcends all eras of rich wealth.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
They have butlers. They call them something different in a kingdom, but they're there.
And you don't know what that is?
I don't remember. Nope.
All right.
Do you remember?
No.
Okay, then.
Stewards?
Ah, a steward.
I don't know. Maybe.
It feels lower than a butler, but maybe.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to be the one that paints people's portraits.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That'd be a pretty cool job, don't you think?
No.
Oh.
I'd be terrified of doing that.
Yep.
It was a lot more like...
The royal portrait painter. That's what I'd like to be.
And then when you screw it up, it's off with your head.
No, you just got to make the person look better than they actually look in real life, and then you're good.
Right, but I don't have any faith in my ability to do that. So,
okay.
All right. So let's talk about this game.
Yeah, please tell people how to play this game.
Yeah.
So they know what we're talking about.
Sure. So this game is very straightforward. It's a very fun little drafting game where you are, like I said in the little intro, you are picking from one of two rows. You have the castle row and you have the village row, and they both have the same thing going on, but they do it differently, and they have different focuses on what they're trying to do. Once you take one of these cards, you are going to bring it over and put it into your tableau, and the first card can be in any of the 9 spots that you want it to be. But then as you draft after that, you do need it to be orthogonally adjacent, meaning it needs to be left, right, up, or down next to one of the cards that's already in your tableau. A card is going to have a few different things on it. It's going to have a cost. It's going to have an active ability that happens usually right away when you play it. And then it's going to have a scoring effect at the bottom. And so at the end of the game, the idea is going to be that you're going to trigger all 9 of your cards and score in one way or another. The only exception to that is sometimes in every good kingdom, you run out of money. And so when you do that, you might have to draft one of the cards and flip it over face down where you will get more money. Now, there is an additional aspect to this in addition to the straight just buying cards and drafting them and putting them into your tableau. Additionally, there is a little messenger token that starts on the castle row. You can only draft from the row that your messenger is in. And so the messenger will move only when certain cards are drafted that have a specific symbol on it, indicating that it needs to move to the other row. But there are some ways to manipulate that, because in addition to good old hard cash, you also get a few keys that you will also have in your supply to work with. These keys do a few different things. One of them is moving your messenger to the other row if you wanted to draft somewhere else. You can also wipe the board with one of your keys and completely clear out that row and draft something else. You can only play one key per round, though, so you do have to kind of decide what it is you want to go for. Players will keep playing back and forth or around the table if you're playing with more than two, until everyone has built their 9x9 completely. Once that is done, everyone will score, and that is how you play Castle Combo.
All right, let's get back to the table and discuss then.
What are your opinions about the artwork?
Oh, the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the artwork is cute. It's a comic-y style artwork.
A little bit, yeah. I struggle with like what you call this, because I feel like it is a specific style of the... It's almost like
I feel like it looks
it's got
like a caricature.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, very good.
Which I would still describe as comic-y, but yes.
Yeah. It's like, it's a different kind of...
Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to the Renaissance fairs and you get your caricature drawn or wherever you go to do that.
Yep.
And they exaggerate certain features and they have certain things around you that you like doing. So that's kind of what the artwork's like. And it's cute.
Yeah, I think it's good for this theme. I don't think it's my favorite art style, but it is very consistent throughout. It's got a cute, simplistic kind of look to it in that it doesn't overwhelm the cards, which is pretty much the entire game, to where you would have a hard time finding the iconography or focusing on the game itself. Like, it's there, it's present, but not overwhelming. And I do appreciate that. Whatever you see on the front of the box is what you're going to get with every card. And so that, as long as, you know, you're okay with that, then you're going to enjoy the artwork in this game.
Mm. It's unique for a Renaissance-themed game. I think a lot of times Renaissance-themed games go fantasy either fantasy, fairies, things like that, or they go more hyper-realistic knights and kings and things like that. And so I don't know. It's cute. It's a unique art style to do with the caricature.
It is definitely style, unique a little, I guess, in a way refreshing. So that's cool. What about this game drew you in?
Well, you sat down and you said, we're going to play this new game. And I said, but I'm kind of tired. It's 10 o'clock at night. And then we played we learned the game and played two full games.
Yeah,
by like
I think we actually played
45 or something.
I think we played three games that night because it like
in like
so
an
fast.
Hour. It was great. So that's what drew me in because I was already tired and I was like, oh, it's been a big day. I don't know if I want to learn a new game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes an extra brain power, but my goodness, like you could pretty much just sit down and play. Like you hardly even had to explain very much except for it's a 9x9 grid and the things are on the cards.
Yeah.
You know? So. That was nice. I like games that have strategy that you build along the way and you can mm-hmm. build your own strategy. And so you're doing that in the grid because different cards will score off of each other within the grid. And also it was very simple to sit down, learn, and to play to the point that, again, yeah, I think that first night we did play three games in under an hour, maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So how about you? Why did you get this game and tell me that you needed to play at 10 o'clock one night?
Well, I pay attention to a lot of the noise in the board game community, and this game has gotten a lot of love. And so I was very curious to see what all the hype was about. And I know with the way that the hype was being spread, I was like, okay, this is probably a lighter game, but I do think that it's got a theme that I like. We both love building kingdoms, mm-hmm. and we love being able to do that in various different ways. So the theme drew me in. But then once I started getting into it, I was like, that's all there is to it. And like you're saying, there's a simplicity that makes it very easy to focus on the actual combos as opposed to the rules. So if you're looking for something light, then this is definitely in that space where everybody I've played with, like it doesn't take very long and everybody picks it up very quickly just from a quick explanation. And there's at the same time, lots of different combos to try and put together. I like that there's just enough options that it doesn't feel luck-based too much because you have different ways of mitigating the board and putting the different cards together to be able to make your combo come to life.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite mechanic in this game? Like how they've put stuff together?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the keys. Okay. I think having, so keys are worth 1 point apiece at the end of the game if you don't use them, which can be in a two-player game, that can also be very helpful. But I like when you have card games will always have some level of luck because you don't know what's going to flip up on your turn versus your opponent's turn. And to be able to have tools in games that mitigate that, for me, I just really like that aspect when games put that in. And I like the way that the keys not only helped you move your messenger from one row to the other, but it also lets you wipe the board if for some reason you're like, man, these are just not working with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was definitely something that was important. What about for you?
I guess I like the varied strategy options. Okay. So you didn't say too much about this in your game blurb.
Yep.
So I'll go ahead and say the cards have kind of different suits.
They do.
And so there's options of scoring off of different suits or even the placement of different suits on your board. And then they also have the kingdom versus the village tags. And so sometimes you can score off of that. And so I thought that was neat, that it wasn't just centered around one strategy. I mean, I don't think there was even though we're both choosing from the same cards, there wasn't a single game that we both were using the same strategy because, oh, well, that's the only one you can do with these cards.
Right.
And so I thought that was neat. I thought that you're not just scoring off of, or there's some that score off of the absence of other cards in your grid. And there's some that score off of the corners of your grid or off of the high or low. So I liked that there was enough varied strategy that you never really felt stuck. We were talking off screen. I didn't even really, I'm trying to remember. I think there's maybe even only one game that we played that I even had to take a card face down to get more money and keys, because you get an immediate bonus when you play the card and you get the end game scoring ability. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the immediate bonuses will give you keys and coins. So I never felt that I was at a lack in this game, which is something that sometimes you feel stuck in kingdom builder types of games. And I never felt that in this one, which was nice because there was a variety of strategy. There's always something that you could do, even though we're playing off the same cards. It was rare that I felt like you took something that was my only play.
I got you.
Which sometimes happens in Kingdom Builders when you're using the same resource pool, you know?
Sure. Yeah. But there is still, like, I don't want to go so far as to say there's some hate drafting, but there's definitely some decisions of, I want to play this card because if I don't, then they're going to take it kind of thing. And it will help me. It will help them way more if they have it. And I want to make sure that I get that swing to where.
Or even like this, the guy that you move from row to row. Yeah. I remember there were times when I was getting the cards that would have moved him off the board because I knew I didn't want you to move him and get an option on the other side without having to spend a key.
That's right. Or if someone doesn't have a key, then you're like, okay, they're locked into whatever is there. So there are still some choices to be made for sure. I think that's another thing that I really like is I think I'm learning that I like simple drafting. I love the drafting mechanic, but I don't want drafting to take to like separate you from the game and take half an hour like some games do.
Yeah.
I like the way the drafting works in this game where it is the game and it is moving something to the tableau as opposed to we're going to make our hands and then we're going to play. And this game does it very elegantly of how you decide to go about your drafts, for sure.
Yeah, so, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Is there, when you're playing this game, is there anything that you feel like is lacking for this? I know it's lighter, so it's a little bit easier to just say everything's fine, like it is what it is, but is there something that might be lacking for you that you wish was in this game?
That's a good question. I was thinking, because we always do try to think, is there something that could make this game better? Is there something that is lacking? And honestly, most of the things I was thinking, I don't think I would actually want, because I wouldn't want a bigger game board, for example. I wouldn't want like a playmat. I don't know, for example, because then it wouldn't fit into this nice little compact box that we could take a bunch of places.
Yep.
And I wouldn't necessarily want more types of cards or strategies because, like I said, I think there's a bunch of different strategies already in there. So, no, I wasn't coming up with anything, really. I think it's good and really well streamlined the way that it is. And thinking, like, again, I didn't feel stuck in any games that we played because you start with, I forget how much keys and money you start with. But you start with a little bit.
No, it's a decent amount. Like you can get going. And like you said,
even if you get really crappy draws the first time that cost too much money and you can't afford them, or the guy's on the wrong row and you need something on the other row, you've got starting resources to be able to move it around and to get yourself going.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like some good playtesting went into the components of this game.
I agree.
How about you?
I think for me, so there's a good amount of interaction, like we've talked about, between players with the rows and placement and deciding what to take and not take and where to have the messenger end up. I don't feel that as much once it's locked into a player's tableau. So it's like this interesting, I've got a solitaire game going over here and we interact right here in the middle. I would love cards that interact a little more with each other's boards.
Like that could move a card in somebody's board.
Either move a card or score off of something like that. And I think there are a couple that might play into either an immediate effect or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like it's not completely missing. I just think I wish there was more cards. I do know there's an expansion coming out. I want to say this year. I don't know what's in that box, but I am expecting that there's going to be cards that do something to kind of change the game up a little bit. But if I had my wish list, I would want some more interaction between the players for sure.
Yes. And I was thinking because the game plays all the way up to 5.
Yep.
And we prefer it at 2 players. That's why we're doing it as a 2-top. And I think one of the reasons why we prefer it at 2 players is because you get better player interaction. Yep. I am much better able to watch your tableau, see the strategy that you're doing. And again, block you with the messenger or reset the board if it's a really good card for your strategy. Mm-hmm. And I would be less able to do that with 4 players. And I'd be less able, it'd be a little bit more randomized because once it goes around the table, who knows where the messenger is going to be by my turn? Who knows where? So I think that's one reason why we like it at 2 players is because it provides much better player interaction than I think you have at higher counts.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play this with more than 2 again. It's interesting because you talked earlier about compacting everything into this small box. The antithesis of that is when you start playing with a lot of people, the game almost feels too small because mm-hmm. you've got people looking at it from the wrong way. And if you're on a big game table, then it kind of gets swallowed up. And with a big group, that's harder. But with 2, you and I can just sit next to each other. We can look at the cards all the same way. We can watch each other's boards. The game goes a lot quicker. That's the other thing. Like with
the time really scales.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With more people.
No, you can go ahead and say it because that was my next point.
No, go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So that was my next thought is I was like, I don't like usually there's enough difference in higher player counts that I can like at least see the value in it. This one, I feel like just adds time. Like you see a few more cards because you're going through more of the deck, but it really just adds more people thinking about their tableau. And I don't know that it adds any more value because there's such limited interaction. Whereas at a 2-player game, you can clip, like you can go really fast. So that's my main reason for wanting to put this in a 2-top spot.
Yeah, I would agree. And like you're saying, going around and everybody, more players, you've just got to focus on your own strategy more. You can't focus as much on other people's strategy and on figuring
what
out
that.
You don't have as much control over it either. Like if I had noticed across the table's strategy, I couldn't do anything about it anyway.
Because most of the cards that you see aren't going to be there.
Right.
So feels much more random, like Anna's saying, at those higher counts, mm-hmm. for sure. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about? We mentioned the compactness. It keeps coming back to that, though, and like a pro and a con. We can take this a lot of places,
yeah,
which is cool. And I do like that. This is the board.
And we can play it sitting side by side at a table, which shows the compactness of the, of the game. Even when it's out on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're standard playing card size. So even the 3x3 doesn't take up that much room. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very easy to take. Small box. So not hard to bring with you in a bag or just carrying it by itself. Not quite. You need one more tray table. Going way back as
you
a callback to the
3 tray tables to play this game.
To play this game on the airplane. Yeah. So if you get lucky and there's nobody in that middle seat, then you could do it. But outside of that, you need a different, bigger space.
Yeah. Definitely a restaurant table.
Oh, 100%.
For your food or things like that. Yeah.
For sure. Sure. Because it also plays quick at 2. So you'd be done by the time they brought food out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts that you want to bring up before we call it a day?
I think. Again, I like playing this game at 2 players. I like how fast it goes. I like how easy it is to get into it. I mean, it would be one that we could very easily introduce to Faith, even though it says 10+.
Yeah,
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think really that comes down to putting the 9 cards together into one cohesive combo,
right,
which is what the game wants you to do. well.
Right, because you can get to where every card is comboing another card.
In some form or fashion, yeah. And they really work together. Like, after we played a few times, I was like, okay, I need each card to average this score for me to have a chance of beating Anna, or it's not going to work, kind of thing.
You're supposed to do your strategy around beating me, just like...
That's peak.
Getting
though.
Better at the game in general.
That's peak. I was like, if I'm going to win, like, this is how I do it.
Oh, man.
I think Faith at 9 would still struggle with that a little bit. But I think she could 100%. Yeah. Like, so I don't know.
The gameplay itself is simple.
It's totally fine.
But it gets thinky when you're arranging your tableau, trying to make everything.
I mean, the idea is to create the combos.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
So,
Castle
no,
combo.
I do think it is family friendly, just to jump in, because like we've been saying, I mean, really, like, the big draw of this game is the simplicity.
Yeah.
And the ability to jump in and play a fun drafting game that gives you something to think about, but it doesn't overstay its welcome, even at a higher count. I mean, it's longer, but I think you're getting this done in under an hour, kind of thing. So
yeah. I think this would be a really good game to pull out for a newer gamer, mm-hmm. introducing them to some concepts. Again, you can teach it in less than 5 minutes.
Yep.
Completely. And so that's going to feel very accessible to somebody, whereas sometimes new games can feel intimidating to new gamers.
I think it can also be helpful. It could be a fun game for someone who really likes drafting or putting together those various combos, mm-hmm. in a tableau. I do think it in this case, it lives up to the hype for a lot of different groups.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we would appreciate any thoughts or feedback you might have on this game. All the links to all the things that we do and the ways that we interact in 2026 are in the description below. Would love for you to reach out in any way that you find most comfortable, and would love to start a conversation. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, giving a like and a thumb and a whatever on YouTube. I don't know, man. It's we all know how to do this.
Tell us how you really feel. He wants to go back to the Renaissance.
You have no idea how true that is.
Oh, man.
Bring back the plague.
Oh, my. Didn't we just have one of those, like, fuck 6 years ago?
Oh, that's so true.
No, don't do it.
Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for the cover art. Special thanks to Anna Snyder for the outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the feature table, where Ian and I are going to be taking a look at Estate: Raise the Realm. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Goodbye.
See ya.